No. No, but I can
Okay.
take the minutes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jay,
All
did you
right.
and you again, just kind of another note. Did you call the realtor on that lot that's on the corner of Idlewild and Lakeview?
Idlewild and
I'm sorry, Oak
Lakeview.
Ridge. I'm sorry, Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge and
Cool.
Lakeview.
Upper Lakeview, you mean?
Nope.
No, up by
Oh, right on my
Kathy.
corner. Right on my corner.
Did I call the realtor? No, why?
Oh, no. Because I talked to her. They're closing tomorrow, unfortunately. And she said several people had called about that lot, and I thought you were one of them.
No,
Oh,
that was my
no.
neighbor, Jay, Kathy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. I just, so.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on, I'm
All
just
right.
bringing up the agenda. My stupid computer wanted to do download updates from last night, so hang on, and we'll go to the agenda. And I did go last night to the ZBA meeting, but let me just go to the agenda so that I can open the meeting. Okay. So I'm going to call the meeting to order at 9:02. And do we have an approval of the agenda? I'll make that motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor or any other discussion or amendments you'd like to make at this time?
Nothing.
The only thing is if we want to approve the minutes from yesterday's meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just add that.
All right. Well, do we have Brad Jones on the call?
We didn't vote.
No.
I vote yes. I vote yes to approve the
Oh,
agenda.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
Okay. I vote yes.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. And
Aye.
just as far as the people on the call, we have myself, Paula, and Kathy, Donna, and Dinah, did I hear?
Yes.
Okay. And anybody else?
Nope.
Hi, Dinah.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's go. Kelly is out plowing, obviously, so he will not be in this morning. We had scheduled to have Brad Jones on the call. He may be calling in any moment, so we'll just continue without that. Water report, Ian Hayes. Is that for today's meeting?
No.
Yeah, it's usually the first of the month. Are you referring to something else?
Oh, that was Lynn must have typed that, so it's not there. Yeah, no, just take that out.
All right. So we're going to jump right down to the administrator report. Donna, since you're the only one on the line, so why don't you go ahead with your admin stuff?
Well, I did reach out to Brad for the to find out about the disbursements and to find out about the changing any of the disbursement invoices because of the back ordered ones, but we never heard back from him.
Okay.
So yeah. I did find for the meeting, for the annual meeting, I did find the out the clerk position is up and the treasurer's position is up for this annual meeting and the commissioner's position.
Okay.
The final budget hearing has to be held a month prior to the annual meeting. If the public notice one, just to let you know, and the anybody wishing to file for candidacy has to file between January 9th and January 20th. No, yes.
Yep.
Ninth and 20th.
Yeah, I had that other paper down at the office. But it has to be in by the 29th for any no, that doesn't yeah, they can come in but the last oh, I don't know, that doesn't make sense. I'll
No,
have
you're
to
right.
figure that out. I'm sorry, I apologize on that one. But I just lost my train of thought. But any warrant articles for the town of Madison has to be filed to the town of Madison by February 2nd.
Yep.
So just to get, you know, to keep, you know, you abreast of that situation.
Okay. Yeah.
So Jay, do you think we want, do you want to go ahead with what we planned last year or not for those two warrant articles for the town of Madison?
Yeah. So there were two warrant articles proposed for last year, one which was to get some amount from the highway block grant, which had been mm-hmm. done previously in the
yep.
amount of $5,000. There was the other one, which was to get some amount of money from the meals and rooms rental tax,
mm-hmm.
Which the town of Madison, I believe, got $122,000 or thereabouts last year. Now, what I'm hearing is, because of COVID-19 and the loss of revenue to the state overall with many aspects, especially a lot of people not driving, so the gasoline tax was not very much collected this year, is that those two disbursements to the town from the state are very much in jeopardy. And so the town is actually trying to now adjust its budget in anticipation that neither of those two grants even are available this year. In other words, they get zero.
Hmm. I didn't know the town could, I didn't know the state could do that. I thought that, you know, they collect 9% from the meals and rooms tax, and then of that total, they give back to the towns, what, 11% of the 9%?
Yeah, there's a percentage they give back to each town based on activity in that town. But, again, with all processes like that with regards to the state, they have the right to change that at any time. Last year,
okay.
if you remember when we went to that seminar at Loudoun Martin,
yep.
They
yep.
were waiting upon the state to basically the legislature to release that money. They could have held it for state mm-hmm. reasons. So
I guess the answer to the question is we will not pursue that this year.
Probably not, but there's another one
okay.
that was brought up, and that is where a lot of folks have inquired and or even done it, gone ahead and secured those metal dumpsters for the rental property, and that the trash is deposited into the dumpster as opposed to having people go to the Madison dump and pay $5 a bag. And so there was a thought of coming up with some sort of ordinance. It may just be Edelweiss or it may be townwide where commercial dumpsters for the collection of household trash, not demolition,
mm-hmm.
would be barred because it's a health hazard in attracting rodents and other animals.
Okay.
Doesn't really, I mean,
so
that's
that
just an individual
is that
issue.
An
that's not a,
issue?
Is that a district issue? Why does, I mean, that's not anything that we as a district governance have anything to do with.
No, it could be an individual that submits it, but if the residents of Edelweiss feel strongly against it, they could ask the commissioners to petition a warrant article to change the zoning to prohibit that from happening, at least in Edelweiss. I think it'd be
would
more
common. Would that be a zoning change, or would that
yeah,
be
you're,
just
you're
a,
saying,
an ordinance?
Sorry.
That'd be a zoning change.
But why wouldn't the people just go and object on their own? Like, why? I mean, if, I don't know. I mean, I guess that to me is just like, let's wait and see if we hear from people. But people would have to contact us before that's even filed as a petition. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? You're saying
yeah.
like they're going to hear that it might happen, and then they're going to come to us way in advance. In advance and tell us they want us to do this. That's not going to happen.
No, I've already heard. I've gotten inquiries. Can we put a dumpster in our yard for the renters? And I've heard that myself. That question has come to me, and I said, "There's nothing to prevent that from right now."
Right. That's
okay.
fine. I mean, you're not.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the district, though. I mean, right now,
so any resident could create the petition warrant article for Madison, gather up the number of signatures, and present it at their annual meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless, you know, one of us wanted to take the reins and do it, but if there's residents that are expressing concern about it, then it's kind of incumbent on them to make it
change.
But
you're saying, just be clear, you're saying that we would, you think people are going to come to us and ask us to create a Warren article opposing a Warren article that Madison's doing, which is we think it would be fine if people put
No.
You're
no,
telling
no,
us
no,
to oppose that. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's just the opposite.
Okay.
So the ordinance would actually prohibit residents from placing trash dumpsters in their on their property.
Right. You're saying that's what the Madison one would say. And you're
that's
saying people would want us to go in and oppose that so that people could put them in their yard.
No.
There is no zoning that prohibits trash dumpsters from being put in your yard now. Yeah.
We want to create a warrant article that would supplement the zoning ordinance to prohibit the dumpsters from Idlewife property or Madison townwide, which would include Idlewife.
Right.
You guys have lost me. You're saying Madison is already going to do this. I don't understand why we need to get involved. You're saying that Madison is going to create this ordinance to ban dumpsters in yards.
We don't know that.
So you're saying we should assume maybe they're not going to do it and we should go ahead and do it?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if Jay wanted to create a petition warrant article for Madison and get your 20 signatures or 30 signatures and present it, I mean, that you would be doing that as an individual.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
And I'll tell you about last night's results from the ZBA, but when commissioners do collectively as a board, the three of us, either want to uphold particular zoning, believe me, it matters. And I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Okay.
So anyhow,
all right.
Go ahead, okay. Donna, with your continuation. Right. That was just the other one. The continuation.
And just one other thing, you guys, I'm sorry. The other thing I just want to say is on this other thing about the taxes. So, Kathy, because you kind of made a statement at the end saying, okay, so I guess we won't do that. I mean, are we going to not do it because we've heard that this might happen? Like, to me, we don't know. The state may end up giving Madison the money. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, you can still do it, and, of course, it would be withdrawn if there wasn't money coming in that given year.
Right. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to – what if we say, okay, we heard they're not going to do it, and then we don't go for it, and then they get the money, and we haven't done anything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because, to me, there should be a lot of money collected for that tax thing, for the vacation rental. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, especially this year. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I would say that we at least, they're already put together. They were done last year, so I say we just resubmit them this year, and then we wait to see what the state does.
Yep.
Well,
okay.
We have to get new signatures. Do we have to get new signatures?
Yep. Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So
they love
that'll
doing
be
that.
Something...
He loves to go around and get signatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead, Donna.
All right. Do you want to approve the payroll today's payroll for $11,643.24? And this does include the commissioners and treasurer's monthly pay for the month of December.
Okay.
Yeah, totally normal. So I'll make that motion that we approve the payroll in the amount of $11,643.24. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this includes the bonuses as well, right? Did you say that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And as well as the commissioner and the treasurer's pay?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
All right, all in favor say aye. I say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I have two non-public minutes and the minutes of 12:10 and 12:17.
Okay. So 12:10, I think we discussed and made some changes and corrections to last week.
You mean 12-3? Because 12-10 was 12-10. Last week.
12-10.
Yeah, 12-17 is today. Yeah.
So 12-10, we went through and just kind of, made some corrections last week. So I didn't
read
that.
That was last week. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's in the thing from, I'm sorry, that was put on. I thought Lynn needed them approved again. So,
But last week was 12-10. How could we have already approved 12-10?
Yeah.
When we looked at them?
Okay. Oh, we did. You're right. That was the week before.
I'm sorry. That was 12-3. So 12-10
was. It was 11-25 and 12-3 that we approved last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
But 12-10, she said, didn't she send out a note that she was going to make some changes to this?
Yes, I saw that,
It's in the folder. I thought she sent it to you.
No. Last thing I was from Monday, she sent them on Monday, the first draft, and then there was another note I thought that said she was going to go ahead and make some changes.
Yeah.
And corrections. Okay.
Okay.
And we can't approve these.
All right. Fine. All right. She has a non-public. She has a non-public session of December 3rd. Did you receive those?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to approve those? Do we have to approve the non-publics or no?
Yeah.
Those are done separately. Correct. So I'll make a motion that we approve the non-public minutes of December the 3rd. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion or amendments?
No.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. And by the way, those minutes are public. They were unsealed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 12-3 ones were? Okay.
Yeah, the non-public session was, yeah. Can we hold off on the 12-3 to see what Lynn's amendments were, the changes? Or corrections,
regular minutes,
Yeah, we'll wait till next week on those.
We already approved 12-3, though.
I mean, not 12-3.
This is the non-public. Yeah, 12-10.
Okay. So not to approve 12-10?
Right.
Those are the ones that you did, Paula.
Well, I did the 12-10 non-public, and then I gave her the ending of the 12-10 minutes because it was the end of the non-public. So she's got to add that and make other changes she was talking about. We can review the non-public for 12-10 that I sent in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what we just did, right?
No, we didn't approve those yet.
12-3. We did 12-3.
We did 12-3. Oh.
12-3. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
All right, so I'll make a motion to approve the non-public 12-10 minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Any further discussion or amendments to those minutes?
I don't think so.
Okay, hearing none, I vote yes.
Yes.
Did Paula vote yes?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
I voted yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. So those are approved.
All right. And are we approving the minutes from yesterday?
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from 12-16.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No, Paul, you did a great job. I read through them this morning, and it was very concise. That they were very well written. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes?
Yep. 12-16. Yes.
Yep. Unanimous. Okay.
All right. Very good.
Well, really, we just have 12-10 outstanding, at this point.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Do we want to do the accounts payable?
Sure.
Okay.
It makes me get things done.
Yeah. So this is the accounts payable is 9 checks for $5,395.12.
13 cents on the agenda.
Okay.
We don't want to give him a penny too much.
Oh,
we
okay,
got a lot of
me,
sticklers. We got a lot of sticklers for detail. So,
all right, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but I wrote on the manifest $5,395.12.
Okay, that's probably
all good.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're fine.
I'll give them the penny if it's wrong.
All right. So we'll motion for the higher. If it comes in lower, we'll allow you to go ahead and adjust that amount.
I think so it's 13 cents. I just added up the last numbers of the columns. It's 13 cents.
It is? Okay.
Yeah,
so
I
added
it in my...
Yeah, okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the manifest in the amount of $5,395.13. And before we approve, Donna, since we're not able to be there and actually physically see the checks, can you just read off each one individually as to what the amount is and to who?
Yep. Okay. Alvin J. Coleman is for $924.13. That's for the gravel. Amerigas is for $67.93, and that's for the propane. Coleman Rental Supplies is for $721.76, and that's for the part of October for the Bergdorf Culvert and service dates of 11-11, 11-13, 11-18, and 11-20.
Okay.
The next one is Easton Propane and Oil for diesel fuel. About $189.62. The next one is to Granite State Minerals for $1,301.76 for salt.
Yep.
Jordan Equipment Company. This is looks like for the plow blades and stuff for the new truck. In the amount of $1,168.04.
Okay.
So, Don, that's up posted against the warrant article for the truck?
It did, Kathy, yep.
Okay, good.
Okay. The next one is to Kelly Robitaille in the amount of $887.25 for his medical insurance deductible. The next one is to the State of New Hampshire Department of Transportation for fuel, and that comes to $100.64. The next one is to Donahue and Tucker for $34 for a telephone conversation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's it.
Okay. So I'll make the motion has been made, $5,395.13. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
I'll second.
Any further discussion or questions on any of those expenditures?
Nope.
Okay, hearing none, I vote yes.
Yeah.
Aye.
Okay. That's unanimous. Thank you.
Yep. There's a signature item that will have to be signed. And that's for the Granite State Analytical for the water testing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did call them, and it's the different tests that are done. Some are yearly, some are quarterly, and some have a 3-year. For the 2021 season, it's the grand total would be $7,962 for the type of tests that are required by DES that Granite State goes by.
Okay, so say that number again, Donna.
$7,962.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the original quote that they gave.
Okay, all right. We discussed that on the budget thing yesterday, so I just want to make sure we got the right number in there.
Yeah.
Now, is that's water testing for the drinking water only. Is that correct?
Correct.
Because I thought one of those contracts also, they also did the evaluation of the beach water as well. The E. coli testing for the beaches was also Granite State.
Okay.
That's part of the B-Lab?
It could be. I do have beach bacteria samples on it for $2,100.
All right. And that's so that's included in the $7,962?
Yes.
Okay, so that was what we were discussing yesterday. I think that $7,962 is $2,000 too high because we have not been doing the beach testing.
Okay.
Yeah. So can you call about that beach testing? I believe that is three times in a given season or summer.
No, so Jay, that's B-Lab. That's B-Lab.
Yeah, that's
done through the state. And that's done through the state.
Right.
This was our weekly beach testing that we did. And we took our own samples and brought it to the lab locally.
Right.
Was that listed? I didn't look at the detail on that letter from them. Was that included on there?
Yeah, we should not sign that.
I think we do,
in fact, pay for the VLAP or some portion to the system.
But that's different. That's a whole different – that's not Granite State Analytical.
Okay.
Yeah, that's taken down to Concord. Those samples.
Right.
Yeah. Those aren't done here in North – yeah, the Granite stuff is all local. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, they're saying if we decide to continue with our beach testing, that's where the $7,962 comes from, and they're not going to bill us if we don't bring them the samples. And we chose, we brought it up at the annual meeting, and people realized it was kind of an unnecessary expense for multiple reasons. So we can sign the contract. I think they're just saying these are the tests that are available, and that's what they're going to cost. If we don't provide them with a sample, they're obviously not going to bill them. But our budget for that should be $2,100 less.
Yeah, and I think budget should be accurate and not built up.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. So,
$5,800, really.
Yeah, Donna, if you could call Granite State and just confirm that $2,100 is for the weekly beach testing that we used to do with the five different beaches.
It says it right on the contract.
Yeah, and if you could have them resend the contract with that removed, at least we'll have a contract number that matches what we budget for.
No, but I think, Jay, they're just saying, here's all the things that are available, and if we don't send them the sample, then they don't bill us. It's almost like they call it cafeteria style. Of all those tests, you pick all the ones that you want. Obviously, the ones that are required, we have to do. If it's not required and we choose not to do it, we don't do it.
Right. And
I'll just make sure that they're not doing the samples that we would be doing.
They can't get the – they're not going to come collect samples because it's in some a thing we signed.
No.
Kathy's right.
It's basically saying
this is what we charge for doing business. If you're going to do business with us, this is what it's going to cost you. But in order to do business with us, you got to show up with the sample guide. They don't take any of the samples. Ian takes them, right? Granite State doesn't show up here and take any of our samples, right?
Well, yes, they do.
They come. So they do. Just verify that the beach samples are done by the district, not by them.
I'm
going to read this agreement. I'm going to stop and read the agreement this afternoon.
Well, we can just
before we sign it, we don't have to sign it today, do we? This week?
Okay.
No,
I'll read it.
Okay.
Again, I haven't read the whole thing, to be honest with you. I don't know if you guys have. I didn't read it in detail. My guess is I think what Kathy's saying is correct. I was pretty closely tied to that whole discussion last year about the beach testing. And you only get charged for it if you do it. You got to show up with the samples and all the. And so they're not going to. So say we take it out, and then all of a sudden in June we decide to do beach sampling. It's not covered under the agreement we have with them. That's why it's
in there.
Be.
Well, it would be if we bring them the
no,
samples.
No, I'm saying if we tell them we want it taken out, which probably what they're sending us is a pretty standard agreement.
It's a list of services.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll be happy to reread the whole thing and make sure that's
okay. And you know what? So I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to have Paula sign the agreement once she's reviewed it.
It needs to be signed by more than one person, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just one person needs the acceptance.
Right.
I can't find it. Did you? We have. I probably filed it. No.
It's a couple of weeks old, Paula. So
You sent them both to us. You sent us the 19 agreement, the 20 agreement, and the 19 agreement.
I'll find it. I'm sure it's in my mail somewhere. Okay.
Or the 20 and the 21. Yeah.
Okay. But the other thing I noticed too is that a lot of these contracts or even these correspondences that come in annually are being addressed to the former administrator. And I was just wondering, are the current administrators reaching out to those agencies to let them know
when we get them in? Yes. Yep. When we get them in, I've been changing. I've changed a lot this past couple of weeks, actually. So.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. So, we can sign that out.
Okay, so Kathy makes the motion for Paula to read the contract and then sign it. Who's seconding it?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I found the 2019 one. All right, I'm still searching, but okay.
All right.
So now that's it.
I've got the 19 one.
Yeah, I found the 20. I don't see the new one. I'm still looking for it.
I'll resend it.
I think it's right here. I think she sent it on 12/10. Look under 12/10.
It's called Edelweiss. It's called the Edelweiss PDF. Yep. I got it. All right, never mind. I'll read this. Okay.
All right, and I'll reach out to them just to make sure too. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. It does say on here your system's currently scheduled for the following services, and that includes 60 tests at $35 a test for the beaches.
Yeah.
And there's asterisks by ones that have to be. So anyway, so Paul, you've got it. So you do have it.
I need to cross through that line and initial it and change the total. How about if I do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Tabled items. We haven't heard back from Yuri. And I know that the snowmobile trails have been established with signage. So it looks like they didn't get their agreement or their plan in place this year. That's fine.
I ran into him a couple of weeks ago and asked him about that, and they were having trouble finding the owner of that piece of property. So it had changed hands at some point, and they found the original owners. It was a whole. So he didn't think they were going to get it this year because they just didn't have time. So anyway, but he appreciated that we had taken care of it for him and everything. So
yesterday when I was going through something, I found the original information that Yuri was talking about at the meeting that he had come forward. So that's at the office. There's pages of stuff and a plan. So I couldn't send I couldn't email you it, but it's down at the office. If you want to read it.
So that was someone he originally approached the commissioners and got approval multiple years ago, several years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. So it's off the table now until he reaches out to us again next year.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he needs to, but
The trail is back where the original trail has been for years now. So I guess they didn't get that agreement. But anyhow, moving on. So we've done accounts. We've done
Hey, just so you guys know, I'm sorry. I hate to go back and waste more time. This Granite State thing, I'm looking at the last page. for signature?
Yep.
It says acceptance signature. So somebody signs it, and then it says reports to. And honestly, Donna could sign this.
Oh, okay.
Because it says it reports to, and she can put down reports to Board of Commissioners, Jay Buckley, and your phone number, invoices to. I don't need to sign this. So I'm just saying I can if you want me to, but I don't report to, I guess I report to the board, but it's just like, it seems like Donna can go ahead. I would cross out that line about the beaches and just initial it, Donna.
Okay.
Yeah.
And change the total, just delete that amount from the total and pencil it in and put your initials there and sign it and send it back. It'll be fine.
Okay.
Withdraw the agreement. The motion. Yeah.
Do I have a second on withdrawing the motion? I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so Paula withdraws the motion and Jay seconds that and you're all approved. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and put in the minutes that you have the authority based on our discussion and approval at this meeting to go ahead and sign for us.
Yeah.
All right. So we go to signature items, and that's what we were just talking about, the Granite State. So we want to jump down to commission reports. And I see here under me it says letter to surveyors. That was a while ago.
Okay. You were supposed to give us a list of surveyors.
Oh, okay.
For the lodge. For potentially sectioning off the lodge from that piece of property and making it a sellable lot.
All right. I'll pull up. I think we were looking at a minimum of three surveyors, right?
Yeah.
I'll just go to the phone book. All right. Do you want to talk about what happened last night at the ZBA hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was actually interesting because unlike our meeting where we have on our webpage that anybody that wants to attend remotely can do so by this phone call, conference call, they didn't have anything on their webpage. I had to inquire, and then I guess that created a little bit of a hustle as to get Zoom.
Good.
Yep, so that was all accommodated, and I was not the only one attending from the public. Terry Kancelarik, she had bumped into me via electronically this week, and I brought that issue up. So she wanted to join the call, which she did, because she's very concerned. And so just to go over the variance, it was the only application last night for the ZBA. I am glad to say that the applicant for 13 East Bergamo had come back to last night's meeting with a totally revised septic design.
Awesome.
So that new design now requires no variance whatsoever from wetlands or setbacks to any other references. So that was now taken off of their original application for variance. The other variants, there were three others. One was for the house setback from the center line of the road, which Edelweiss requires 65 feet. And they actually downsized the house structure so that they comply with that. There was a request for variance in regards to the clear cutting or cutting of the 35-foot buffer between the road abutment and it needs to be 35 feet of vegetative buffer with the allowance of clearing only 50% of the basal area in that buffer zone. So basically that also came off their application because now the house was set back 65 feet and they were just going to leave 35 feet of naturally forested visual buffer zone. So that was great. The only thing that was a concern was they wanted to maintain, even though they were removing what I'll call it a family room off the back of the house, that was what was really encroaching on the wetlands. They removed that from the footprint of the structure. But then they moved the structure back to where that boundary was originally with the family room. So they wanted to maintain having the house as far back away from the road for aesthetic reason. And I objected to that based on our discussion that we would rather give relief to the setback from the center line of the road if it would give more buffer to the wetlands. In other words, we were giving preference to protecting the wetlands over the setback from the center line of our district road. And the applicant really didn't want to do that from an aesthetics standpoint. They felt it would look better if the house was set back further, but then that further encroached on the wetlands. So the chairperson of the ZBA, who actually complimented, I believe, the village district for wanting to stand up for the protection of wetlands and water quality, as well as the applicants. They did their diligence, too. He asked us to split that number. And so we were splitting the difference. So the house is coming more forward to the road, but it will not violate the 65-foot setback, and it comes further away from the variance request from the wetlands. So I think it was a good overall meeting. The I think the biggest thing we were worried about was the leach field having been so close to the wetlands, and now that has been taken off as a requirement for variance because they've changed the design, which is what I was going to recommend anyhow. So it was approved last night, and I think it was a good compromise, good discussion. And I was actually, I must say, I was actually glad to hear that the ZBA was also concerned about wetlands, no matter where they are in Madison, because they said historically the residents of Madison will do almost anything to protect our water resources. So that's the result of my going to that public hearing last night.
Thanks for going, Jay.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
All right. And let's see, what else do I have? Okay, so it's just the Jones and Beach multiple invoices that I inquired about. I do have a couple things from last week. Did the office contact the Primex to see if we could have a paid assessor take a look at our Ford F-550?
Yes, there was a call out to them, but nobody's returned the call back yet.
Okay. You also want to try some local dealerships like McDonald Ford? I'm sure they have an in-house appraiser.
You think so?
I don't know. Yeah. Right. Kelly was in last week at the meeting. He wasn't too, didn't feel confident.
Yeah, they're not going to give us one for free. All we're asking for is will you assess the value of a used truck and we will pay you for your services. The same with Primex.
Okay.
All right. And I don't see it on this agenda, but do we have a motion action log that can be completed yet?
Lynn was working on that, Jay. So I don't know that outcome. I know she was working on that on what day is today? Today's Thursday, so Tuesday she was working on that.
Okay. All right. And are we going to have the fire extinguisher company come back and do the inspection on those extinguishers up at the lodge?
Kelly didn't. Kelly was the one that took the gentleman around, and he. I guess we can call him back if we ever get into it. Kelly still don't have the code.
Yeah, I forgot to give it to you yesterday.
Yeah, I thought of that. Yeah.
As we were leaving. Okay. Yep. So yeah. I wouldn't call him back for because they're out of Kittery, Maine. So we're going to get charged from driving all the way over here to inspect one fire extinguisher in a building that no one even uses. So I would just wait till his next inspection.
Didn't we just go through a Department of Labor inspection and wasn't the fire extinguishers on there?
Well, yes and no.
What happened at the lodge?
Not the lodge. There was some expired ones at the DPW, too.
Right.
So wasn't, this it is was just the fact that they had to have, that they were like 2 years old.
Yeah, but this is a public building, and I'll be honest with you. So as a firefighter, if that building catches fire, first thing I'm going to look for is a fire extinguisher when I go in. And it's going to be a pain in the neck if I find out that it didn't work and the fact that it never was inspected. That could be a whole lot of trouble. You know what I mean?
Well, do you want me to go up tomorrow and just check the date on it?
I'm pretty sure that they do expire this year. I remember when I was in there this summer, I actually looked at those.
Do you want me to go up tomorrow and look at the date on it?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Okay, then that's at the lodge. Okay.
Yeah, but if you ever run into something like that, Donna, where you don't know the combination to a particular building, just pick up the phone to any one of us.
Yeah.
We may have it,
yeah.
We may not, but
yeah, Kelly had just, like I said, Kelly had taken the gentleman around and he didn't know, so yeah. I will reach out the next time.
Yep. Okay. So if the fire extinguisher is not out of date, we should be okay.
Yeah, but we should know what that date is, because if it's just in another 2 months, then the guy will have to come back.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right, I will report back next week as to the date on the fire extinguisher.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's all I got from me. Kathy, I guess you're up.
Yeah. So we had a brief discussion about the Department of Labor. The last thing that was on her list was the backup alarm on the Ford 550. I did send her a message saying that the truck was out of service and that we anticipated selling it. She replied back with, "Thank you very much. I now consider this case closed." So that whole Department of Labor issue has been resolved and is considered closed. Donna and I yesterday, we went through all the AmeriGas propane bills, and we get three different types of bills from AmeriGas. One is for the propane at DPW-1, which we split between the district general fund and the water because of the chem room. I lied. The propane for DPW-1 is all for the chem room. That's all water. And that was being done correctly. There's another bill that comes in, and that's DPW-2. And that one we split between 85% for the DPW and 15% for water, because Ian's got storage and a little office down there. Then, unbeknownst to us, there's a third type of AmeriGas bill that comes in, which is the propane for the pump houses. So we went through and corrected the line items that those bills were posted to. And, you know, you look at the bills, it's very difficult without, you know, knowing what to look for to see where the deliveries were actually made. So we did go through and repost all of those AmeriGas bills for the total year of 2020. So I thought that was productive that we got that done. We got the Google Nest Hub, which will give the office a separate little screen to monitor the doorbell on. They won't have to be flipping back and forth on the laptop or the computer. So that's in the process of being set up. I've got it about halfway done. So I think I'll get that finished up tomorrow. We had a great budget meeting yesterday. I just put together a proposed budget, and we had an amazing discussion yesterday with everybody involved, the three of us plus Kelly, on how we think the budget should look for next year, some of the loans that are going to be coming due and payable for the first time for next year. We got all that information pretty much nailed down. And, you know, going forward, as our current budget gets closer to the end of the year, we'll be updating that as we go forward. So,
Kathy, are you going to send out a revision?
All I have.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kathy, are you going to send out a revision of what we discussed yesterday?
Yeah.
Or would you be able to do that?
I'm still working on it. Yeah, I started working on it last night. So
great.
What I'd
okay.
like is when, and maybe tomorrow, if Donna Actually, I'm going to go down to the office tomorrow and try to get that Google Nest connected to the doorbell. And
okay.
I'll run a profit loss so it would incorporate the additional manifest from today. So the actual numbers will be closer to being up to date.
Right.
Okay.
So I'll include those.
Yeah. If you go down tomorrow, Kathy, and Paula, mm-hmm. If you could call me and we could sign the
yep.
checks.
Yeah.
And then
yep.
and then Dinah, you could, you know, maybe I'll let you know after they sign them.
Okay.
Oh.
So, because, Jay, you won't, Paula's in town, but, Jay, you're
yeah,
not, correct?
I can sign tomorrow. Just text me and
okay.
I'll come by.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank
you.
Okay.
You can call me. I can probably come anytime.
Okay. All right. And then you've got your warrant meeting status. That was just based. I think that last comment on the agenda was basically the status of the meeting that we had yesterday. So that, and we talked about that a little earlier. So I think that's all I have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paula, you're up. What do you have?
I don't have anything. No.
What?
I know. It's terrible. I'm not. I'm just sitting around, you know, twiddling my thumbs. I'm happy. Okay.
You were looking through that the emergency water management plan, right?
I haven't done anything with that. I do, and I said I still need to reach out to Ian, and I will do that.
Yeah.
I'll do that this week.
Okay.
I promise. And
okay,
see, I think what I need to do is have the office scan my copy because I went through and highlighted it. I think what would
okay.
make sense is either to hand him my copy, and I'm happy to give him my copy, or scan it and send him a copy of it and say, you need to go through this now and make notes for us and what needs to be changed in that. So I'll send
okay.
him an email today, and I'll copy
yeah.
you guys. And,
okay. He does like things sent to him so that he can look at it. So that might
okay.
be
he's probably going to have to print the whole thing out, and I'm happy to give him my copy if it's easier than having him print it, but probably good to have
yeah.
a copy of it.
So. How many pages is it, Paula?
It's I have it sitting here in a huge pile. It's pretty lengthy.
10 or is it 50?
I think it's that's not it. Is it true? I got to find it. I would say it's somewhere between those two. So, and as I said, I went through it with a yellow highlighter and I highlighted all the things that were like confirm, and if he could just go through it and go okay, you know, then we'd
mm-hmm.
know if we have to change it and he can write in what needs to be changed, then we could do it. We could hopefully do it ourselves here. It's a community plan. Let's see, from 2009. Yes, yeah, it's 25 pages, I think. No,
okay.
That's
okay.
something else. Anyway, it's I don't know, whatever.
Okay.
Why don't I bring it by the office? You know what I'll do is I'll bring it to the office tomorrow when I come to sign stuff, and you can scan it in for me, create a document, and we can send it to him. That would probably be the best thing to do.
Okay.
All right. There was one other thing that I forgot to put on the list of proposed warrant articles, and that was the reclassification of that section of Reinach Place from Class
mm-hmm.
6 to Class 5.
Not Reinach Place. Reinach Road. Is it Reinach Place? Is the road?
It's Place.
Yeah, it's Reinach Place.
It is. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's Reinach Place, and we need to extend that from what is designated as the driveway entrance to number 5, the further driveway entrance corner, to just beyond the new pump house, so that we have a legal road that we can maintain going up to our pump house.
Okay. How many feet is that approximately?
Probably 170,
175. Okay.
I mean, they've always been plowing it, but legally they're plowing a Class 6 road.
Okay.
All right.
So basically, the course.
Yeah, do we want to jump down to correspondence?
I have something to say. Can I say that? This is
Dinah.
I'll wait if you want. It's just so nice. I'm just sitting here watching it. So.
Yeah. Does it get to do with that Classic Road or?
Pardon?
Does it have to do with the Classics Road or?
No. Although the other house would be affected with that. Okay. I just have some financial things. I'll chime in later.
Oh.
Okay. No, we can. I'll take you now, Dinah, if that's okay.
Okay. Might be good if I can talk after her admin thing, because a lot of it is with that. So anyway, I just wanted you to be aware that I did make the $25,000 capital reserve deposit water
yep.
use that you approved the other day. We should be looking to get the tax check in between Christmas and New Year's. They're really good about getting it to us, so it was nice we didn't need a TAN loan this year. And the only other thing that I need to sort of clean up before year's end is the amount that was charged to do the water hookups, which I will take out of the water extension account and put in the operating account. I think there was one or two more that Ian hasn't given us. I'm not sure. Donna, did you?
There was one, Dinah.
One? Okay.
Yeah.
It's done now, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So we just,
and I reached out after you came into the office, and I'm still waiting to hear back.
Okay.
And I got the figures of everything else for you. I'm just waiting on that one.
Okay. Well, I'll pop in Monday probably and see if you've heard anything. And that's about it. That's all I needed to say.
Okay, Dinah, I have a question for you, Dinah. So when an applicant pays $8,000 for a water hookup, the check comes to you and then you deposit it to the water line extension fund, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, then Ian performs work on getting that hookup completed to that property, and then he sends the bill, and that bill is paid for through which account?
The operating account. Ian just gobbles it up, and you know he mixes it up with everything else. He doesn't really Interlake and hookup $3,200. We have to kind of go through and guess, which is not very good, but we do it.
Okay. So out of the $8,000, you replenish the operating budget with that. Let's say it's $3,200 for Ian's work. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So the whole $8,000 doesn't transfer to the operating budget. Only the amount that Ian charges.
Only the amount that Ian charges. That's how the account gets built up.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Great. Okay.
While we're on this water hookup fee, the only one I question that we had the Ian's fees from Seven Biasca. Does that come out of the water extension fund, or does the district, that comes out of Ian's operating repairs?
We discussed that a couple of weeks ago, and I think that because it was directly related to trying to figure out where the water main ended and what the conditions were up at 7 Biasca, and it was determined it wasn't feasible for the property owner to hook up because of the cost of blasting granite, that should come out of that extension fund. Because now we know where the pipes are, and they're more clearly marked. So I feel that it was part of evaluating our water lines. So, and it was related to a hookup.
It is part of the process of evaluating the potential for a water hookup. You're correct.
Yep.
And so I believe it should
come
from the water line extension fund, because it cannot come at this time from the $8,000, because we had to return that in full.
Correct.
This is where we need to clarify the policy, please. Should be a line in there that says, you know, any cost incurred on finding out if you're going to have a water hookup will be applied to your $8,000 deposit, something like that.
Yeah, we do have that, Dinah, on our list of ordinance changes, and most of them won't have any impact all through the winter. So it's kind of, we tabled that whole having a public hearing on ordinance changes until probably after the annual meeting. But yes, we do want to do that. That, and Paula said, you know, maybe add something not to exceed $1,500, so that the person applying may at least knows they're going to get $6,500 of that back, no matter what.
Well, yeah. I think it should be whatever. Was 7 Biasca under $1,500?
Right, no, it was probably 2,100 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. The other suggestion I had was to, I don't know if I suggested that, and or to have a non-refundable section of it. So it's an $8,000 fee, $250 is non-refundable. So that, because we have costs. I mean, it costs money to, you know, for Ian to work on this stuff, and, you know, it's just administrative costs, I would call it. I mean,
there's cost water engineer, because he has to figure out if there's going to be correct pressure.
Yeah, so there's always going to be costs.
They're usually, those costs are going towards a water hookup that will happen. So that $100 example that we were talking about, that included all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we won't hook up.
Yeah.
That needs to be clarified in the
And there's nothing in the ordinance that says that they will get the $8,000 refunded in full. But it would be nice to put it in there so people aren't caught off guard that they will be charged for all or a portion of the expenses, depending on how we decide to present it.
Maybe just by clarifying that line. I didn't realize it says we would do it. Anyway, that would make us all feel better when we have to take money out of it.
Yep. No, I agree with you 100%. I agree.
So the Biasca cost is also going to be taken out of the water extension account.
Yes.
Correct.
I can do that all in check. That's why I'm clarifying that.
Okay. I think we have that on Ian's bill, don't we, Donna? That exact amount.
Donna has
it. Yes, I have it. I just wanted clarification of where it was coming from.
She had it. She just didn't know what to do with it, and now we know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does a motion have to be made or not? I just want.
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Nope. Okay. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. One other thing I forgot, folks, and that was from last week's discussion at Thursday's regular meeting. I had just put a thought in your fellow commissioners' heads about an emergency plan for snow plowing should one or more of our DPW plow drivers come down and get taken out with the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And does anybody remember what I suggested?
Yes.
So it was to basically utilize the private contractors that come in here to plow private driveways and then secure their services should we come to that situation, notifying them that, yes, on your way to your client's driveway, could you also plow the road that they reside on? That way we would know what roads are being plowed. They would be continually plowed as they continue to maintain their client's driveways, and at least we would have a plan.
Yeah. I think one of the thoughts was to, you know, kind of unfortunately have to put that back on Kelly to reach out to the folks that he knows are reliable and have the heavy-duty enough equipment to do our roads and let him sort of coordinate that.
But yeah, somebody was going to follow up with him. Somebody,
right.
After we decided it, somebody was, I don't remember if it was the office or Jay, was going to follow up and talk to Kelly about it.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't have it on my list.
Yeah, the thing we talked about was, do we think that's a good enough plan to at least, I don't know if it's Kelly that would do that or if it's the office or who would do it, but it has to be
Jay,
a plan.
Yeah, you know what, Jay, can I chime in?
Yeah.
The more I thought about that, it might make more sense instead of having him have potentially three or four of these guys all crisscrossing around the district when we have it a kind of that emergency situation, that it would make more sense to have one contractor, whether it be, you know, a Coleman truck or an RWN or some other company that plows some of the commercial locations that has more than one or two trucks on the road, and so that he can call them and say, look, I need you to plow this, you know, and give them the list of roads that they need to plow versus saying, okay, I've got John plowing, you know, Oak Ridge, and I've got Bill over here doing Bristenstock, and then I'm going to get so-and-so over here to do Middle Shore. It seems like that might be a little bit confusing for everybody if he has three or four people in here kind of crisscrossing each other trying to get their individual roads plowed. But if he had somebody else who was a larger contractor, and he could say, you know, and have a discussion with them, find out what their hourly rate is. We have no idea what this is going to cost to have them come in by the hour to do plowing.
Right. You know that they will come in, but they'll come in after they do all their other clients, which is probably 2 or 3 days out.
Two or three days. That seems crazy. I mean, somebody should just talk to Coleman's or somebody about this. I mean, let's have the conversation. I just went back through the minutes from last week, and all it says is we said we should talk to Kelly, and then, of course, no one ended up doing it because we didn't really assign it. Because the problem is like this. My guy does my driveway, but he comes late in the day because I told him to come late in the day because I don't need to go anywhere. You know,
right.
These guys have – I mean, what you're suggesting is requiring a lot of pre-planning and coordination, which should have been done a month ago, and now it's too late. I mean, you could start doing it now, but he'd have to figure out who the 3 or 4 guys are, what roads, who's going to do what roads, what time it needs to be done. I mean, I think Kathy's right. We just need to call Coleman and say, hey, if we run into a situation, can you plow our roads? And if it's later than in the day, it's going to have to be later in the day. I mean, it's going to be an emergency situation. Because,
I mean, do you want me to reach out? I know RWN was in the process. He was gearing up his whole company to do more of that kind of work. And I know he's got tons of equipment because of all the landscaping and stonework that he does. So, I mean, is that somebody that
idea.
You think is reputable enough that we could at least...
Should we ask Kelly or...
Yeah, let me talk with Kelly because I know he doesn't want to go that route because the expense would be astronomical.
Well, this would be an emergency situation.
It'd be an emergency situation.
I mean,
right. Yeah. And so...
I mean,
if we had a foot of snow and they were to come in, any contractor were to come in the day after the storm, no one's getting up the hills, not even those plow trucks. Sorry. If you don't come in during the storm, you might as well not come in at all. That's the whole point of having the contractors who are already there during the storm plowing the road. But to be honest with you...
What do you want to do, Jay? I'm confused. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Well,
what do you want to do?
I'll talk with Kelly because I know that my contractor and other contractors, if the road that their client is on is not plowed yet, they plow it. They usually do just to get to the driveway.
Right.
So it already takes place. We know that. This is something that's been going on for years. But we would have a farther reach in contacting these individuals saying, look, we're in an emergency. Can you plow these roads which your clients are on and then just send us the hourly charge that you've been there for? So we'd at least have plowing during the storm.
Right. So set it up. We talked about it last week. We all agreed to do it. Go do it. I'm confused. Yeah. But if you want
to send somebody would have to reach out to them if it's an emergency situation. And that might get confused. Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. I mean, I would set up, but I think you need to document this plan and say, we've contacted the 4 following people. This one is doing these roads. This one's doing these roads. Here's their phone numbers in case of emergency.
Right.
Give all of us a copy of this thing and let's go.
Right.
Write the plan. That's fine. Okay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but it's got to be done. I mean, that's all. Because it's here.
Okay.
I mean, That's all.
And I'm sure,
I don't know.
Some of them that Kelly calls may say, hey, look, I'm down to one truck. I really wouldn't be of service to you. I wouldn't be able to be of service to you. So somebody needs to reach out to them, I guess, prior to us meeting them. That would be the key.
Right. Okay. Let me talk with Kelly after the meeting or after the snowstorm. I can't say I'm always busy.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's that or you do what Kathy suggested and you go to one bigger contractor and you say, will you be our backup? And get them to agree and get a cost from them.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one or the other. I mean, but I think we got to do it. I mean, we got to go start contacting people now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have, I want to jump to correspondence. Robert Carey.
Is he the attorney for 47 Idlewood, property owner?
Yeah, that's the attorney for the 47 Idlewise. Then he wanted to reach out to talk to Kelly.
Yeah.
So,
what was the... Didn't we fix that driveway?
Yeah, we did. It's all done.
Yeah.
So what
I know that.
I think, I don't know going forward for paving it, but we would need a new, I believe the contractor that was going to do it is not doing anymore, so we would need a new application, correct?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. No, because it wasn't contingent upon the person doing the work.
Did we get, we never got the completed application, right?
Yes, we did.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Yeah.
And
we sent back,
it, right?
We approved it with the conditions that Kelly stipulated.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And
so was there any discussion as to why Attorney Carey wanted to speak to Kelly?
No, it just says they submitted the driveway permit on the 29th of November. It looks like your input would be needed to complete the application and have the permit issued. Please let me know if there's a time next week when you're available for a phone call.
Okay, so the permit was submitted on November the 29th. That's just 3 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the signed permit, right? So they agreed to the condition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they sent back, the signed application? Agreeing to the condition?
I'm just going through it.
I think that's what we were waiting for them to agree to was the conditions that Kelly had set forth in writing on the application.
Yeah, I don't think we ever got anything back from the homeowner, though.
So who sent back what on the 29th?
That's what I'm looking for. On the 30th, I just, there's an email regarding the fixing of the, he wanted the remeasured of the culverts for the property, but nothing that they agreed to for the driveway itself.
Okay.
The only email I see from this guy on the 30th is let me know when the district will perform the temporary repair to my client's driveway.
Yeah.
Why don't we, maybe that's what she's talking about. So we just need to reply to him and say we already did it, right?
I think we did.
We sent that out.
Maybe she put this from an old agenda. Maybe she left this on the agenda by mistake.
Yeah.
No, because I got something from Bob Carey on the 12th that he wanted to speak with Kelly.
Oh, about what?
Yeah, I think it might be in reference.
He doesn't say what he. I believe he.
Yeah, I know that.
It looks like you are in. Yeah.
A paving contractor. Jay. Paving contractor had reached out to Kelly last week. And that contractor just wanted to meet with Kelly to go over the recommendations by Kelly and what Kelly's already done there. He realizes the driveway is a challenge, and it's definitely going to dump water into the road. That's why we want to make sure we capture anything coming off of that using that grate, that plastic grate that's going to catch the water. That's all I know from Kelly saying that he did get a phone call from a paving contractor who wanted to meet with him on site to go over the driveway. Of course, it's not going to happen this year. It'll be in the spring, but he just wanted to get everything lined up. Maybe that's what it was about. Can you reach out to Robert Carey, Donna, and just ask what it's about. I think it might be the paving contractor. That's all.
Okay.
All right. And so that was 47 Idlewise Drive. Then we got a letter from Adam, Adam Leiser.
Yeah.
And that was a while ago. I need to go back to that and see.
That just came on the 12th.
Yeah, and there was no action required on the letter for us to do.
Right.
He was just reminding us of the 91As and looking for a letter saying that to exonerate him of the invoices. So there's no action required by the commissioners at this point.
Yeah, he's still asking us.
I agree with Kathy on the two things he asked us to do. We've already said we're not going to do. So and he's just saying, I don't agree with you. I want you to do them. I don't think we have to reply to that. The only question I have is, I really want to be clear. When we answered his original 91A, we said to him, we've got this. You're supposed to sort of give him a time frame for when you're going to complete it, I believe, if you read the 91A law. Because if you can't complete it within 5 days, you need to say, and I remember when we had shown this to the lawyer originally, he said he had drafted something for you to send back that said, I can get to this in the next 3 months or something. And my question is that what you told Adam? Did you give him a time frame?
Yeah.
Or did you just say, I'll work on this? Because I think it's okay to get, you might want to get back to him and say, just to clarify, Adam, on the 91A request, we are still working on this and we will be able to complete this. We anticipate completing this by, and give him a date. I think you have to do that. I think you should do that.
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
Can you look back? Can you look back on what you sent him and make sure? And if you did give him a date and you said the date, that's fine. Don't reply.
I didn't give him a date, but I did say that I'm working on it. It's going to take some time to get all this information.
Yeah, I think we should get back to him, reply to that original note, and say we got in receipt of in response to your letter about the 91A. Let me clarify. We are anticipating completing your 91A request by January 31st. I don't care what the date is. Just give him a date.
Okay.
That way you've fulfilled the law the way it's supposed to be done.
Okay. Okay.
I think we would do that. I think that the recommendation was from the attorney to give a date. I think it was like January 15th. Somewhere around in that time frame, and I'm pretty sure we forwarded that to him.
Well, see, if you did, and if you did, you're fine. But if you didn't,
because
I think I think you replied to him before we had the response from the lawyer. But maybe you went back and replied to him again. But
I don't believe I did. Mm-hmm.
Just give him a date and just say in response to your letter, and just say that's all we're dealing with, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think, I agree with Kathy.
That's true. And maybe say, we're in receipt of your letter dated, blah, 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 because it did come in registered mail. So acknowledge we received your letter. Per the email from August, September, we're working on them. And
October.
We still anticipate finishing them by January 15th as communicated to you back in whenever.
And if we didn't communicate, just say to clarify the date we're looking at. And if you think you should know, based on the pace you're going at and what you know at this point, you know where you are there. So
Kathy helped me out the other day tremendously, so I appreciate the help.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Because I think we did give Adam a date of January, and I think it either was the 13th or the 15th that we would have the 91A request completed. So we did send that out, I believe. I hope we did.
I don't know, to be honest, Jay. I'll have to check, but I don't think we did. So that was because I had already sent that it would be taking some time. So.
Okay.
But he does deserve a day.
But I will. I will when I go in on Monday. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. So talking about Adam's letter and the whole situation that he's inquiring about. It's been about, we're going close to 90 days now since we've sent them the invoice. So I think it's time that we basically just take this to small claims court.
I thought we were going to do it when we did all the other ones. And what's the timing on that?
Well, the other ones we're going to do property lien because we are a municipality with a utility. And obviously,
okay.
those folks under the RSA of municipal utilities, we can actually place a lien against the property for non-payment of utility fees.
Without having to go to small claims court.
This one would have to go to small claims.
The purpose of going to small claims court is that the odds are that those folks aren't going to pay or they're not going to show up, and then they'd have to be in default of the order. Then we could put a lien. But because, as Jay said, Donna found out from Linda that because it's a utility, that we can automatically put the lien on the property without having to go through that small claims court process, which was great. It costs half the price and it's just done, you know. And at least it secures our monies that are owed to us if that property ever gets sold.
Yep.
Yeah. And we're being a village district. I did reach out to NHMA and they gave me the RSA.
Mm-hmm.
To go for a utility bill, because the form letter that Linda gave me, it was for collection of, like, they assist people for fuel assistance, and it was a different RSA. So
okay. We should clarify the wording on that. I can help you with that. If we get together tomorrow, I think we can get a bunch of stuff done.
Okay, Kathy, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. So what do we have to do about this Adam situation then?
So I guess we should start the process for the small claims, and I think it's, what is it, $65 now to file?
I think it was 90.
I heard. Yeah.
Okay. So let's get that started, I guess. And because, you know, it's going to take time to get into the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if it'll even be, I don't think it was even going to be in this calendar year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure people will ask about the annual meeting, where we are with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, okay. You know, whatever the judge decides, or the clerk, usually it's a clerk that does these, we're just going to take it. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yep.
Move on. All right. What else do we got up here? So, Terry Warren.
Okay, just before we go to that, there was a thing from the New Hampshire Public Works Mutual Aid membership.
Yeah.
We do pay that on a regular basis, but we got the new for next year, and they're verifying the organization contact information, which was still Nancy Cole. And she used her the office phone plus her cell phone number for a weekend and evening number. I don't know who wants to be in charge of that, but I don't feel comfortable giving out my cell phone number personally.
Okay. All right, put me on, Donna.
Okay.
And I don't know if the other commissioners want to be, you can be added as well, other commissioners, if you so desire.
There's just one primary, a secondary, that we've always filled out the form with. So you're fine.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll just have all my calls forwarded to Paula.
Gee, thanks. I'll turn my phone off. I'll block your number, Jay. Okay.
All right. All right. And there was Kim Hare.
Yeah.
And let me jump back to her email. What was that about again? She was the realtor, right?
She and a bunch of property owners were interested in finding out how to privatize our beaches or privatize the ponds to limit outside guests from taking advantage of and disrespecting, I guess, the use of our beach and our properties. And talked about, you know, a little bit about the Madison stickers to confirm that the cars parked there were allowed. And I think Jay, you know, like she said,
well, they wanted to attend a meeting. They wanted to come to a meeting. So
right.
She said, I think that's the next step. she thought the 10th was too early. I don't know when we got this. So we should invite her to the, she says the 29th. Is that our next meeting? Is our next, our meeting next week we canceled, right? So then we have a meeting.
Right. Okay. The 29th.
Is our next meeting?
Yeah.
I'm just going to.
Yeah,
we should invite them. But is it the 29th or was it the 20th? Let me just look at the
29th.
Oh, yeah, the
29th. It says on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would ask her to come to that meeting and to talk to us. I mean, it's pretty clear what their issue is and what their solution is. I mean, we've obviously talked about this. I mean, I think the question is, I think it's an interesting, I think it's been discussed. I tend to agree. Because I think things are just going to continue over time to get worse, and and if you know to me it's either you limit it to Madison with the sticker or you limit it to Edelweiss and you have to come up with a way to monitor in Edelweiss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so,
I think that the unfortunate thing, and I know Jay, you have said this numerous times, the only thing that we can do is control the cars that are parking in the parking
lot. That's what they're
doing.
So
what happens is, if you can't park in the parking lot, they park on the road.
But then you ban parking on the roads. I mean, I think we have to look at that. I really do.
Right.
I agree with this issue. I mean, I think it's going to continue to get worse with the overpopulation. We have got so much building going on already in Edelweiss. The beaches are going to get more crowded just with the local, with the Edelweiss people. I mean, I come up with an idea that I don't know if I ever shared with you guys. I shared with some people, people in the public, but it was to, if you wanted to limit to Edelweiss, you'd have to really come up with a system, right? What thought
I had
was to create like a thing that you would hang from your rearview mirror, and it would be like a plastic thing, like something you couldn't duplicate, almost like a piece of plastic like you would get on when you get a hotel room key in the old days.
Like a handicap placard. Like a handicap.
Yeah, almost like that. It would be a permanent thing that somebody couldn't go create at their local Staples, you know? It would be something heavy duty, and it would be numbered. And we would issue those to people who lived in Edelweiss, and we would, you know, you'd get one for free, and it would belong to your house, basically, so that if you had the issue is the renters, and I understand this. That's the reality. This, you can't limit it to the Madison stickers because of the renters. You have to allow renters to use the beach. And so you would have it would go with the house. And it would be numbered, and we would know which number one went with each house. And you would leave it in your house, and your renters would hang it on their rearview mirror, or you would when you went down to use the beach and to park. And the police could check that. And the thing is, if you lost it and you needed to get a new one, there'd be a charge to replace it, because you know they would be, and we would make it an expensive charge because we'd have to create a new one, and then we'd have to take that number out of circulation, and you know. That's always, you know, over time, hopefully you would be checking these things. But I think you could create a system like that that we could enforce, the same as the stickers. The Madison sticker issue is not going to work. I mean, it's just not. And you're always going to come back around to that. And people are entitled to rent their homes. This is a lakes community, and you've got to be able to allow renters to use the beaches. I mean, it's just that's the reality of the situation. I believe. Yeah. I mean,
just a little history on this. In 2011, David, my husband, was working on the beaches, and he was upset by things back then, and you can imagine how they're worse now. Anyway, I'm talking about it because there was a warrant article that year in 2011 to do this, and he even had the same idea you did of sort of like a handicap thing, temporary handicap things, you know. And he even went so far as to talk to the police, and they said, it's no problem, you know, they're not going to prioritize it, and, you know, that type of thing. But they would drive around, and particularly, I guess, if they got a complaint from somebody at the beach. So I think it's a really good thing, too. It's really gotten out of control lately. It's just crazy. And since we're all paying more taxes for our private beach, we ought to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got to wonder that, you know, Madison people should be able to use the Edelweiss beaches because we get to use we use the Madison Silver Lake beaches because we pay taxes in Madison. But the people in Madison who don't live in Edelweiss don't pay Edelweiss taxes. So I have no problem limiting it to Edelweiss. I really don't.
That was one of the complaints that we get Madison mad at us or something, but I think we're over that. And,
I mean, we pay a lot of extra money to live in this community.
Yep.
And to me, I have no problem limiting it to Edelweiss property owners.
Right.
And I think we ought to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, we pay for the Madison DPW and the town of Madison
to
maintain all the Silver Lake beaches. They don't pay anything to help us maintain our roads and our beaches and our parks and our outhouses and the garbage. So.
Yeah, so I have no problem with just limiting it to Edelweiss and figuring out a way to make this work. And it's going to be a lot of work, and it's going to create, you know, not... But I think we should invite these people on the 29th and throw some ideas around with them. I have no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
She's asked for an appearance, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll reach out to her.
Maybe we create a committee, like, where we have people working on it together this winter with some of these people on this group and some one or two of us, and we get this done, you know?
Yeah.
But legally, you know, they have to understand that we are a public entity and we're not private, so we cannot privatize the access to the water. The only thing we can control is access to the parking.
Yeah. No, I think, and they understand that. I mean, I think that's pretty clear from their letter.
There would have to be a warrant article for this year, though, wouldn't there?
Would it be a warrant article or just an ordinance?
I think it's an ordinance, wouldn't it?
We have to raise money for the placards and stuff.
We could
unless
take that
out
of Parks and Rec. We got a Parks and Recreation budget.
That's what it's for.
Okay,
maybe
we'll
put $1,000 into that, assuming that, or potentially for that purpose.
Yeah, I mean, we're spending money to pump out these outhouses. This is like we gotta figure this out. I think it's really critical. So,
okay. I'll look into the signs. You know, those placards to go on the rearview mirrors.
Okay. And then we can also create. See, I mean, this wouldn't take very long to get done. You know. The biggest piece would be issuing these things. I think we'd have to have people, like, come to the office. We'd maybe have a day we could set it up in the parking lot for a weekend or something, you know, and just, like, and over time, it would probably take a while. We'd have some annoyances, but, you know, you got to figure this out at some point. And then at a certain point, it would turn over to property turnover. If you sell your house, that comes with your house.
So, right.
And
it goes with the property.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty. I mean, we could print out a list of all the properties and put a column with their permit number.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you'd have to get, you know, potentially 500 placards because there's 500 homes in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would make it something really, really solid that could, you know, because they'd have to hold up over time. That's why I thought if it was plastic, like actual plastic that, you know, was molded.
And they wouldn't be likely to drive home with it and forget to leave it at the property.
And if somebody does that, then the renter loses their security deposit. I mean, the homeowners that rent their properties have got to start enforcing some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
And if your next renter shows up and there's no beach pass, that's your problem, not ours. You know?
Yeah.
So we'd also have to then, I think, include in an ordinance, which wouldn't be a warrant article. Actually, I don't think this would even have to be a warrant article. I think this could be done through an ordinance and change the ordinance so that there's, I mean, no parking on the street.
Yeah.
And we allow it now during the summertime. We don't ban it.
We could ban it within a certain distance from the beach, you know?
Okay.
Like,
so what about the parking lot?
Yeah, well, we'd have to figure that out. Yeah.
If those folks want to, you know, put a committee together, then we could actually come up with the questions on how to address certain things.
Yeah, I would ask them. I would write back to her, Donna. This is my suggestion, and ask her to please. We'll give them an appearance and time for discussion on the 29th. We'd love to talk about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And give her the
number.
Yep.
Okay.
I think this is good that we have a group of citizens that want to get involved in this and help us solve it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just moving on, we have a letter from Mike Smith in the Loon Preservation Committee update. Did anybody get a chance to read that?
I glanced
at it. It wasn't a letter from Mike. All it was is he forwarded the information
the
from the
letter.
LPC.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we had the monthly NHMA newsletter.
Yeah.
Okay. So go back to Terry Warren's letter.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do Terry Warren.
So, Terry, yeah.
So
her whole
letter was basically the same letter as last year, and she's asking us to discontinue the practice of lowering the ponds in the fall after October 15th.
We didn't lower them, did we?
No.
Well, we pulled the board out once that water level got way over the top of the concrete.
When was that?
Probably about 2 weeks ago. After those
we didn't vote on it. Did Kelly just do it?
Yeah, he did it because the water was overwhelming the concrete area. The problem was that there was a lot of debris that had fallen into the pond. I'm not sure, but maybe the beavers are still active, cutting saplings down, and they had made it to the dam and got on top of that grate, basically blocking the water. So the only other recourse would be to pull a board so that the water goes underneath all the floating debris. For some reason, there was a lot of 2x4s down at the dam. I don't know if anybody had a chance to go down and look to see how high the water was after all that rain. But, you know, people were throwing 2x4s into the water, and they were getting washed down to that grate and then blocking the water from going through the grate.
Well, you know what probably happened, Jay, is because I'm pretty cognizant of the water level because of my beach, and I pulled my raft really far out of the water this year because the beach got really flat just because of all the erosion and stuff, and the water was so low this year all summer.
Yeah.
My raft was pulled more than several feet out of the water, and it is now almost completely in the water. So I think what happened, I don't think people were – I like to assume, in a sense, that nobody was throwing 2x4s in. Is that somebody probably had some lumber on their beach for some reason, because everybody's been doing so much work. Or it was people use 2x4s sometimes to pull their raft up, like underneath their raft. So there could be a reason for it. But I think what happened is the water has come up so high in the last 60 days because there's been so much rain. That I think it's that's probably what's happened is there's just been a lot of debris, and it could be the beavers too, I don't know. But I just think there was such a dramatic change in the water level that it created all this debris. And, you know, I don't think it was for whatever reason. That's probably is more likely.
So in her letter, she is saying, please replace the boards and stop the practice of late fall drawdowns.
Right.
I think somebody, I mean, I was surprised. I was like, what did we do? I didn't realize we had done anything. So I think somebody should reply to her and say, hey, Terry, here's why we took a board out last week. It wasn't some big, you know, it was a necessity because of, you know, some issues. She thinks we did it. To me, her letter is very accusatory that we had the intention of drawing down the pond, and that's not what happened. And I think we need to tell her that, respond to that.
Yeah, so I did tell her that the day she wrote the letter was the day that she called me to complain. And I guess she heard that a board was pulled. And it was. I called Kelly, and he said, yes. He said, the water is way too high. There's too much debris blocking the water from flowing over the top of the concrete. So as opposed to, he's getting phone calls, by the way, from residents, one who has a well on the pond who's near you, Paula, who was complaining the water was too high.
Right.
So, again, we have conflicting residents who share the same body of water. One says, I want it higher. The other says, I want it lower. What do you do?
So let me ask you this, Jay.
Yeah.
Is the water, the water is not lower than 4 inches from the top of the concrete. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's basically based on the fire department's recommendation. As long as we don't go lower than that, that's That's that level that we're trying to maintain. And we have not gone below the established low-level watermark. When the amphibians hibernated, the water was lower, so they're going to be below that level. The water has come up only after October 15th, so those amphibians will already have hibernated at that lower water level. So we don't feel there was any endangerment for the unconscionable slaughter of all of the tadpoles and frogs.
I think we need to respond. So what happened when you talked to her? Did you explain? Did she agree, or did she still think we were doing something malicious?
To her point, she says, I haven't been there in many weeks. So she heard about a board being pulled. She just wanted to share the concern that the fish and game regulations state that lowering of ponds or lakes should not be done after October 15th. And that is true. It is a statement in their procedures. But this year we had a record drought. Okay, so we, with regard to the 4-inch watermark, Kathy, we were about a foot below that this summer. Yeah. Nothing we could do. We were getting complaints from residents downstream of the dam wanting us to pull boards to let the water flow. You could only imagine what that would have done.
The whole point is on October 15th, the water level was low.
Yeah.
And any amphibians that were going to hibernate had already determined where they were going to be. The water came substantially up in November and the first couple weeks of December. And so the water going back down to where it was in October 15th, we've not gone lower than where it was on that cutoff date.
The water, 2 weeks ago when we pulled this board, the water did not go lower. The water's been high all for the last 45 days, probably, or, 30 at least.
The reason that the board was pulled is...
I don't know if Donna's comfortable replying to this letter. I don't know if maybe, Paula, because you are so aware of the impact, if you wouldn't mind drafting a letter to her.
Yeah, I'll draft a response and send it to you guys if you want me to. Do you think it's needed, Jay, after you talk to her? I feel like...
I don't think so, because I told her that we pulled one board to allow the water to flow underneath the debris, which was blocking the grate. And unless we kept somebody down there to every stick or every 2x4 that floated up to that grate and pulled it out at that time it floated there... That's the reason we did it, was to make the water flow underneath the debris that was preventing the water from going through the grate.
I mean, this whole thing is like, I don't know. I think this is an ongoing issue for them. There were so many frogs in the pond this summer. They were everywhere. So I agree they had gone away for a couple of years. The population had just, and this is very anecdotal, seemed to have declined. Not this year. They were back. So I don't know what's going on over Big P, but I can tell you here in Middle P, you could hear them all the time. You could see them. They were everywhere. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I think it goes, and I think I remember somebody had made a point about this in one of the meetings over time, that, these ecosystems change over time, and they, the populations of these animals goes up and down depending on these kind of issues. But I don't think that this pulling a board, like you said, on November 30th is going to make a difference.
Talk to her. If she understands, then I don't know if we want to acknowledge the letter from her, just say thank you for the letter. It was discussed at the December 17th meeting, and leave it at that. I would at least acknowledge it, because I think people, if we don't, they don't hear back from the office, they feel like they're being ignored or dismissed. And they don't realize they spent 20 minutes talking about their issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could do that and send the audio link to her with it.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, just note that it was, 2 hours, 46, no, 9, 10, an hour, 46 minutes into the meeting. Okay. We had the NHMA newsletter. We talked about that already. Public appearances, we had Dinah. She already spoke, unless she has something additional. And is there anybody else in the public? I guess Brad never called in. Is that correct, Donna?
Nope. I never got a confirmation back from him that he was either.
Okay.
May I ask a public comment question, just because I don't know. I don't have any opinion on it.
Sure.
Did we drain the water tank for the winter?
No, we're going to leave it full, Dinah. That was a suggestion of the tank manufacturer.
Yeah, I saw DN Tank's email. That makes sense. Did they take all the water out of the lines after they tested it so they won't freeze?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Do we have any other business to discuss? Let me look at my list here.
Can we choose a date for the public hearing?
Yeah.
So if it's got to be January, February. So if our meeting is March 6th, do we want to do it, say, February? So do we want to do it on a weekday or a Saturday for the public hearing?
They've always
been doing it Friday night.
Friday night, yeah.
Okay. So we could do February 5th. Which is a Friday night, or do you want to do the Friday before in case we need a snow day? Do we need a continuance?
So you can always come back for another one if you need to.
Right.
We always
schedule two budget hearing meetings in case we have to come back or a snow day. To get things accomplished. Right.
And I think the first one has to be within 30 days. If there's a second one, it can be within the 30.
No.
But
nope. It has to be done. The last one has to be done a month prior to your meeting.
Okay. The meeting's March 6th. The 30 days before that is February 4th.
You want to do a Thursday or a Friday?
Well, the first one or the second one? Let's schedule the second one first.
You want to do them back-to-back days, you mean? Like the 4th and the 5th?
I'm just saying a week apart, but the 29th and the 5th, it can be January 29th. The 5th is too late.
That's 30 days before March 6th.
No, February is a short month.
It's only 29 days.
So you have to have the 4th. Why don't we do it on the evening of the 4th? Doesn't matter. We're not going to be doing this in person. So I think we could do it on a weeknight. We don't have to do it on a Friday. I think it was always a Friday for people who wanted to come up for the weekend. But we should be able to do it on a weeknight. So we could do it like Wednesday night, the 4th. Is the 4th a Wednesday? Thursday. Why don't we do Thursday the 4th? That's the 30 days. 1, 2.
That's going to be, I have a conflict on Thursday nights.
Okay. Wednesday night the 3rd, and then Wednesday the 27th?
Yeah, and that still gives us time, even after the 27th, if we have the second meeting, to make any adjustments to the budget and or warrant articles prior to us submitting them.
The nice thing about that is if we do it on Wednesday the 27th, then at our meeting the next day we could talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. The warrant articles, would that be have anything to do with any petitions that were going to Madison?
That would be a
those have to be into Madison by February 2nd.
Yeah, that'd be a separate warrant article, if so desired by the Board of Commissioners, to be put on the Madison ballot, not the Edelweiss ballot.
Okay. Now, Jay, would it be the commissioners or would it be someone as an individual?
It could be either.
Okay.
But, for example, if you look at zoning regulations, the 65-foot setback from our roads is different than it is from Madison. Okay?
But if someone was going to petition, so that somebody, a commissioner, I guess even an individual, could petition Madison for the block grant money and the room and meal tax money. It wouldn't have to be the commissioners or a commissioner. It could be anybody.
Right.
Okay.
But
I think it has
to be
more,
honest with you,
I think it has more gravitas if it comes from the Board of Commissioners.
Absolutely. That's where the key is. If it's endorsed by the Board of Commissioners, it has a standing in the town.
Okay.
If it's by a citizen who nobody knows about, then it's going to fall flat.
Right. It gives it some credibility. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So to back up, so the 27th, so January. So you're looking at January 27th, correct?
Yeah, so I like this. So if we did it Wednesday night, the 27th, that way on Thursday morning in our meeting on the 28th, we can discuss anything we
right.
want to change.
Night. Okay.
And
so
then we can have a new
one.
Yeah.
I just want to
do
put
one
something
on the 3rd.
Better.
Yeah, and then do one on the 3rd.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, okay, and the 3rd would be a continuance.
If necessary.
Was necessary.
Yeah.
And I'll type up the ad, and you can approve it.
Yep.
Okay.
And so we'll get there, what, 7 p.m., 6 p.m.?
I usually
is good,
I
think.
7. Yeah.
People
what time?
After dinner. 7?
7?
Okay.
7. Okay. All right.
And I think we have to figure out whether we'll be doing, I mean, I would assume now we'll be doing it online. And the question is, are we going to use, what service are we going to use? Are we going to use Zoom? Are we going to use Google Meet? Are we going to use Meetup? Like, there's so many options there, which is the best way to do it.
There's no voting. I mean, the annual meeting, I think, is going to be very challenging. And one of those documents that Donna forwarded to Bob Ingram talked about doing, you know, he's the one that's going to have to be in charge of managing our annual meeting. And so I think it's incumbent on him to come up with a protocol for that. This is really going to be almost like these meetings where we'll present the budget, we'll talk about where we are with each of the line items, and, you know, if somebody's got a question, they'll have to, on our call-in meeting, you see a list of all the people that have dialed in, correct, Donna?
As long as they the phone number is, and once, remember, when I asked the last 4 digits, I enter their name into the queue.
Okay. So if somebody has a question, I know when I've been on conference calls, I click on an icon, and it, quote, unquote, raises my hand next to my name and number, so then they can now unmute me so I can ask a question.
Right.
Yeah. What format?
Do we have that feature?
We don't have that.
Everybody's muted.
Here's the challenge.
I'm gonna click something. I may look. It has here on the top toolbar. It says mute question and answer and remove person. But on the it has clear questions which it's on, so I wonder if I unclick that it will come up that you can ask a question.
Right.
So
we've got 15
I'm just
people
click that.
And all the And if there's 15 people that are all with their background noise, it's going to be very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's
the way this is the kind of thing I would. This is the kind of thing where we should be asking for help from somebody. Because somebody not only who knows what's the best format to use, or can they run the meeting for us, like run it administratively from us. No offense intended, Donna, but like Andrew, I got to tell you, I've been on a couple different things, not as many as some of you, but like, you know, if you use Google, everybody who signs on has to have either a Gmail or a Google account, but you could sort of specify that an account that you just need to set up an account on Google. And Andrew works for Google, so if we asked him to do this for us, he would be able to. You can put people, and then he could say, okay, this person has a question, and be very agile about getting that to all work. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about trying to get the system we have working, to tell you the truth, like from the office. Or asking Ron. I don't care who it is, but we need somebody who can help us administer these meetings, because it's really important that people feel like they can. And that we record it. So as I said, I don't care which format it is, but I've been on ones where you're put in rooms, and I mean, the person who's administering them really knows how these things work, and it takes a while to get used to it. So I don't know if it would make sense to ask Andrew if he would be willing to help us with this, or Ron. I don't care.
Here's the difficulty.
Well, Andrew has been more forthcoming in offering his help. I mean, you know, we've reached out to Ron. He's helped us. But Andrew's always said, look, if you ever need anything, please call me. I am going to call him tomorrow because I can't get the Nest camera to hook to the doorbell. So I am going to be talking to him tomorrow. So if you would like, I'll mention to him that we need some assistance in putting together a virtual meeting.
Well, it's going to be interesting because even if you use Microsoft Teams where you're actually able to present on everybody's screen the written text of a warrant article, right? Then you say, okay, any further discussion on this warrant article for $65,000 for a new basketball court or whatever it may be? Okay, let's all say, show a show of hands as to those people who are going to vote in favor of this. You see a problem?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I don't think
video. I can see their hands. Yeah,
we've definitely
video,
done that.
Yeah, you can see their hands on the Zoom meetings
on a video,
or whatever.
I can see. And also, we don't have to ask for a show of hands of who's going to vote for something. I mean, we don't. That's not required. For the voting, we have to, but not for the budget hearing.
Right. No,
you're
but
saying the annual meeting.
Yeah, the annual meeting. You're going to have to. How are you going to vote and verify that the person behind that keyboard is a registered voter?
So this is the annual meeting, Jay. This is we're talking about the
I'm
budget.
I'm just talking
hearing.
About the hearings right now. Yeah, the annual meeting is another.
The hearing would be just like it was last night for me. Public comment.
Yeah.
It's all public comment. That's all it is. It's very simple.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the annual meeting.
You're right. So Bob Ingram, I think it's incumbent on Bob Ingram to look into that seminar to find out how the town or how the state is handling that situation. That's exactly one of the valid questions about how are people going to vote virtually.
Right.
I would say, Jay, even on the budget hearings, I would like it to be more open than what we're doing now. I mean, that's just my preference, so that it's not just a phone call where people can just say, hey, I got a question or I got a comment. Because I do think there is more robust discussion. That's why I like the idea of it being where somebody's moderating it digitally and helping us, like, unmute people, because if otherwise it's going to turn into a free-for-all. It's going to be hard to interrupt
if Donna Rollins is taking notes and then trying to do, you're right, and to monitor the screen at the same time, it's going to be impossible.
So what I would say is I would be fine with Andrew asking him what he thinks for the hearing and asking for his help with the public hearing. And then I think somebody needs to let Bob know that we're assuming he's taking responsibility for the annual meeting. And so
the state is going to have to chime in on that because that's going to involve the voter checklist. How do you get checked in to a Zoom meeting by the voter checklist?
Yeah. Right. And show your ID, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because there's the voting piece of it, and then there's the holding up your little piece of paper part of it. Yeah. So.
What if you ask for a secret ballot? What if you ask for a secret ballot vote? How do you do that?
Somebody could ask. I don't think there's anything that's going to require that, if our warrant articles stay as is. But I think, I mean, we could go to all absentee ballot if we want. You know, they have to come in, show their ID, get an absentee ballot, and verify their signature and verify their property and do it all absentee.
But you can't vote on warrant articles that way. Warrant articles are discussed and then settled and then voted on.
Yes, true.
That's the hard part.
But I wonder if maybe Bob will have to figure this out, maybe if he goes to that seminar. I think on some of these platforms, you can actually take polls. Can't you, like, vote? Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe there might be a way to do that. Whatever. But, yeah, I think so. I don't know who's in touch with him or who has his number could call him and just say, hey, is this on your radar?
Forwarded the NHMA information on moderators to him just this week, I think, when it came out. His name wasn't on there.
Okay.
So I forwarded it to him.
Okay. I scanned down through the bulletin, and it did discuss about the issues with Zoom meetings and virtual annual meetings, so it was relevant to this topic.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, Jay, are you comfortable if Kathy talks to Andrew about the hearings?
Yeah, I think it would be very much like what was done last night, where the secretary, in this case the administrator for ZBA, basically, there were only two of us that joined. Two from the public that joined remotely, but other members of the ZBA also joined from Florida. And they basically, we were all put on mute. And then the chairperson, who runs a very good meeting, knew exactly when to open to the public, and he said, okay, and he looked at the screen, and he could either see your hand was up because you wanted to speak, or he would simply address you and say, he said, Jay, do you want to speak now? And I give him a visual thumbs up, and that meant that the administrator would unmute me and allowed me to speak. So it was very smooth.
There was a camera on each individual, so you had a screen of, 15 faces, and then that's how you communicated with the person monitoring the meeting?
Right.
Okay. Because I've been on a lot of conference calls and meetings, and you actually have an icon, and you just click the little hand, and so the flag goes up, so the administrator sees that I want to say something.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think if you get a certain – I was on a Google thing last week, and it was – we had too many people to fill the screen, but when you spoke, you showed. But I do think there's a way on the Google ones. The only thing I'd express to Andrew, because I know because he works for Google, he's going to advocate for Google, is that tell him, what about people like who don't have an account? Like, can you get on without setting up a Google account or Gmail account? Because I think, and is there a way to call in without a computer? Because there are... And is there a way to do it, and say to him then, should we do Zoom? Like, I just want him to be open to using the best platform if he's going to help us. And then the other question is, can you call in without a computer? Because there are a couple people we know who don't have computers. And so can you just dial into those calls,
So no need to set up an account.
I was going to ask that question. I have a computer, but I don't know how to hook it up to stuff, so... anyway, that would be a good answer to get. Thank you.
Okay, no need to set up a panel. How about phone in only people? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I belong to a book club, and we had our meeting, and they did a Google Meet, but one of the girls was trying to get in on an iPad, and she couldn't because of the... being an iPad, not a Google account.
Yeah.
So that's
right.
Yeah.
I did run into that last week. So.
Yeah,
that doesn't work well. Yeah.
So Donna, you were saying that Noreen mentioned to you about there was a certain, was it a Zoom meeting, but it was limited to what, 40 minutes, right?
40 minutes. Yeah, well, that was free. And then if we were to sign up for unlimited, it was what, $149.99? For 100 people or less.
Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna run our hearing or any public meeting on any of these, and it requires an account, we should do that. Like, we shouldn't rely on the free 40-minute meeting.
Yeah.
I think if we're gonna use Zoom, we'd want to have an account and have it, so that we could have all the bells and whistles to go with it.
Yeah.
So.
I'll text Andrew today so he can give it some time for some thought, over the night, and then.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have he'll bring some information to us on tomorrow.
Yeah,
that would I'd like to be on that just so that I know what we're dealing with. If that's all right, Kathy.
Okay. Yep, absolutely. So what I'll do is when he's free tomorrow, I'll call you and we can meet at the office and get that little hub thing hooked up. And I think it's just so get that hooked up and then. So now, Jay, what's the status with those two cameras?
Two cameras.
Was it one or two cameras for the DPW?
Oh, the one that gets mounted on the outside of the garage, that one?
Yeah, could you go out there and do that now?
Yeah. If you'll hold the ladder, I will.
Okay. All right, so, we've got the camera. We've had it sitting there for almost a month, so I didn't know if Kelly was going to do that, if you were going to do it, if you want to, you need two people to do it. I'm not sure where it's going to go and what's required to get it connected.
The corner of the garage near the entrance door, but facing the front of the garage doors, pointed down.
Okay, so on the far side of the building. That's where Kelly's truck.
Yeah, there's power outlet right inside the wall, so we just have to drill a hole through the wall, mount it, connect it, plug it in. That's it.
Okay. All right, because it's all set up on the app, so we can it shows that the camera's there and it's got the right IP address for it, but there's just no signal.
Yeah.
So
okay. Right. Okay.
Was it one of them or two of them? We've got one?
One.
Just one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right.
I think we've got enough stuff to work on in the next week.
Okay.
And we don't have a meeting next week, right? Well, yeah, we don't have a meeting next week. Do we need? We had talked about deciding if we needed a meeting early next week, but
no, that wasn't that discussed. That we're having a meeting.
I'm sorry. I thought we had talked about today. We would decide if we thought we would need an extra meeting next week in light of canceling the one on the 24th.
Well, they posted a 29th and a 31st. Is that what we did?
Oh, we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
what I thought.
That's Christmas Eve.
Okay. New Year's Eve.
So we're good. We don't
New
need
Year's
to meet
Eve,
next week then. It sounds like we're good. Okay.
Yeah.
Jay, you may have just put the 31st in case there was any last-minute decisions that had to be made. We would at least have posted the meeting. We can always cancel it. And if it's New Year's Eve and it's, if it's 9 o'clock in the morning and we just have to call in, I think that would be fine.
That makes more sense, That's what we agreed. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, guys, I'd like to go into a non-public under 91A:3A, employee reputation.
Employee reputation? Is there such a thing?
Well, I think, what is it, talk about an employee or,
employee, or is it reputation? It's one or the other.
Employee. Yeah, employee matter. That's what it is.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Do I have a second?
I'll second that, I guess.
Okay. So we'll go do a roll call, and I'm going to ask that we drop from this call. And Paula, could you do the same thing you did last week where you dialed both myself and Kathy?
Yep.
Okay.
Are you taking the minutes then? Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you, Paula. All right. So,
all right.
We'll hear from you in a few minutes.
Roll call. I say aye.
Yes.
Hi. Oh.
Okay. Great. All right. Can you set up that call, Paula? Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, guys.